Can you hear me back there? You got me? Okay. There we go. Now, I need to hear me. Whew. No. She asked me, did I want a stool behind me? And I said, no. I want to stand. This is not a contest between Brother Dave and me. Brother Dave is the father of this house, and I honor you. And let me give you some rules of the house. I get distracted real easy. So if you've got to go to the bathroom or you want a cup of coffee or you want to carry on a conversation with somebody else, then get that done now before we get too deep into this, okay? And if you're offended by that, so be it. And Ronnie already gave me an introduction to the message with the farmer's market tomato picking or whatever that was you did. you know, Paula and I frequently go to the farmer's market, and when we're shopping in the produce section, the clerks use scales to weigh our choices. You've been there, I guess. I learned long ago to watch the hands of the clerks to be sure that they don't put their thumb on the scales while they're weighing my produce. Now, it's so easy to put a thumb on the corner of the scales and make the total a little higher than it would be otherwise. We have not seen anyone at the farmer's market do that, but I watch anyway. You know, this thumb on the scales action is clearly for the seller's advantage. But in any case, it's used to give one party or the other an advantage. You might remember the seesaw in the playground. When I was in grade school, we had a boy of considerable size, and he couldn't enjoy the seesaw because no one person could give him a lift. So we'd load up a couple of us on the other end and give him that lift. And we loved him dearly. And he loved us for giving him that lift. In life, we encounter situations when the other end seems heavier than we are. So we need some help. Today, I'd like to give you an idea of how God has his thumb on the scales to our advantage. Amen. This is not a negative action or a move on his part, but a very positive one. I'd like to give you some examples, and we'll try to end by two, okay? Let's look first at death-life situations. Remember the story of Daniel 5 when King Belshazzar, or if you're a Yankee, you say Belshazzar, who was having a grand party at the expense of the Hebrew captives. He had his people to drink from the gold vessel stolen from the temple in Jerusalem. Not a good idea. He suddenly saw a man's hand writing on the wall in words that he could not understand. He called all his wise men to interpret it, but they failed. Daniel was called and gave him the interpretation. The message was, you have been weighed on the scales and found lacking. Your kingdom has reached its end. That very night, King Belshazzar died. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom. And under Darius, the Hebrew children were given much more freedom, and eventually they were able to return to their country and rebuild. It seems to me that for the advantage to go to the Hebrew children, God has to put his thumb on the scales for them. Another example involving the Hebrew children is when they escaped from Egypt and came to the Red Sea. With Pharaoh's army closing in on them from behind and the Red Sea in front of them, they had no answer. That is, except for the thumb of their God. The sea opened. They walked through on dry ground. And where they watched Pharaoh's army drown. Advantage, Hebrew children. God's thumb on the scales. Now, our next situation that I'll give you is condemnation and forgiveness. We go negative, positive. In John 8, we read of the case of a woman from case of a woman that was taken by the Pharisees to Jesus, who was in the temple. They brought her to Jesus and asked his opinion about how the law would require her to be stoned since they had caught her in the act of adultery. Now, they were obviously looking for somebody to condemn, and they found this lady. And they brought her to Jesus. And when they brought her to Jesus, they said, "The law says she's supposed to be stoned. What do you say?" Jesus virtually ignored them and bent over and started writing on the ground. And then he wrote again on the ground. And he said, "Let the one among you who has no sin in his life throw the stone first at her." And they started walking away. What's going on here? Jesus turned to her and said, "Where are your condemners? Where are your accusers?" She said, "No one, Lord, no one." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." You see, the thumb of God through forgiveness outweighs condemnation every time. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, "What then can we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" If he has his thumb on the scales, we're free from condemnation. Amen? Now here's another dichotomy. Lost, saved. Jesus says in Matthew 18, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And then he told them about a shepherd who had a flock of sheep numbering 99, I guess, when he counted them. And he said, "Whoa, I'm going to leave the 99 and I'm going to go find that one that's lost." And he went and he found him and he put him on his shoulder and he returned him to the flock. Thumb on the scales for that little sheep. You remember Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, shamed, lost, yes. And he said, tell me, what are you talking about in your gospel? Now, I'm paraphrasing. And Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." And he said, "Wait, I can't go back into my mother's womb and be born again." And Jesus made it very clear to him that he had to be born of water and of the Spirit, and then he would no longer be lost. And so here is God's thumb poised over the scales for old Nicodemus, and tells him that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. And Nicodemus believed, and the thumb of God pressed the scales in his favor. You getting it?
Yes.
Good. Consider brokenness, righteousness. Luke tells us in chapter 15 about a young man who asked his father to give him an inheritance, or his inheritance. And the father gave it to him. He was the younger son, but he gave it to him anyway. And he left. And he went down into this other country, and he engaged in all kind of wasteful, riotous living, spent all of his inheritance, eating food that the pigs would eat. And he came to himself and he said, I'm in bad shape here. I've got to go to my father's house. And so he took off toward home. But he didn't even get to the house before he saw the father. Right?
Yep.
He saw the father with his thumb waving. And he said, here I come. He came to his son, he wrapped him up, he kissed him, and he brought him into the house. And there he said to the servants, give him a robe, the finest robe you can find, and put a ring on his finger. That was a sign of the thumb of God working in that young man's favor.
Yes.
And it's such a story of the love of God that he would give us a robe and a ring,
yes,
which represents righteousness.
Yes.
You see, righteousness and brokenness are on opposite poles. Paul, speaking of righteousness, said this, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus from the dead. Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He said imputed means the thumb of God.
Yes.
You see, it just appears everywhere in favor of those whom he loves. For some years now, we've been confronted by the dichotomy of sin and grace. Those of you who were here last Wednesday night heard a thorough treatment of this issue from Brother Matt. Now listen to Paul's summary on the topic. In Romans 5, from the Passion Translation, we read this. One man's disobedience opened the door for all humanity to become sinners. One man's obedience opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to him. This means that in case sin should increase, there was more than enough of God's grace to triumph all the more. Amen. So, whose thumb was on the scales there? God himself. Don't you see? Are you seeing God's beautiful plan here?
Yes.
We cannot overcome on our own. But he makes it possible because of his great love for us.
Amen.
The Hoppers sing a song that says, God's amazing grace sent down from heaven rescued me from sin and from strife. Opened my eyes and gave me salvation. Now I have eternal life. I am his and he is mine. And that will be forever. Can we beat that, folks? I am his, he is mine. Forever. Forever. That's worth celebrating, isn't it? Now let's just look at a couple more, and I'll get you out of here. This one is judgment and mercy. As Paul has already told us now, we were all born in sin. Therefore, we deserve judgment. In fact, we are under the penalty of death. But now listen to these words that I love from a song written by Gordon Moat. Remember, we're talking about judgment and mercy. I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now, what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor, I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Give me a second.
Amen.
Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Call to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiveness when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, how could this be? Someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken. I was born again. The moment that mercy walked in. I love that. One final example. Loneliness and abandonment versus His presence. There's been much in the news lately about an epidemic of loneliness. People, especially young people, are turning to drugs and even suicide to escape the awful feelings that accompany loneliness. 12 students at NC State University killed themselves during this academic year. 12 students. Many believe the root cause was a sense of loneliness. John describes the time when Jesus broke the news to His disciples that He was going to leave them. They were deeply troubled. Can you imagine? They had walked with the very Son of God for 3.5 years. They had great expectations. They loved Him. How could He leave them? He sensed their fears, and He told them, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You know, the great irony in this particular example is that Jesus addressed the fears of being alone for them while He was facing the shadow of Calvary's cross. He knew that a moment would come when He would cry, my God, why have You forsaken me? His loneliness, His feeling of separation and abandonment was more than any other human being could bear. But dear friends, morning broke when 3 days later, in God's thumb, took the greatest single action ever known. He rolled away the stone that had separated Jesus from His friends and indeed from His Father. But days later, Jesus fulfilled His promise to the disciples to send a comforter, a guide, a teacher in the person of the Holy Spirit. It is the same Holy Spirit who is here today, ready to lift the cloud of despair and loneliness from you. and fill you with His holy presence. I have given you 7 dichotomies, death and life, condemnation, forgiveness, lost, saved, brokenness, righteousness, sin, grace, judgment, mercy, and loneliness and abandonment in His presence. If you're struggling with any of these situations today that I have described to you, I invite you to bring your struggles to Him and lay the struggles down at His feet and watch His mighty thumb work in your favor. Amen. God bless you.
God, stand with me if you would. Thank you, Father. Altar team, you can come on up. Thank you, Lord. What a powerful message. Let's give God a hand. That was awesome. The 7 dichotomies. Beautiful. Beautiful. Powerful. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you, Father, for everything that you've accomplished here this morning. Father, from the moment that we walked in to this present moment. Father, I thank you, God, for the anointing that breaks the yoke. And Father, we just give you glory today, Father. And Lord, as people come to receive from you, Father, we just thank you and praise you, God, for what you're going to continue to do even at this altar, Lord. And we just give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're starting something today. This couple, wonderful couple, Ronnie and Roseanne, if anyone has a financial need, and you want prayer, we're going to open that for them, as well as your healing and so forth over here. So we just thank you, Father, for your goodness and your love today. We say the blessings of the Lord are upon the people of God. They are upon us.